believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If Carol was dead, she'd be rolling in her grave, all these short ones we've had the last few. Our treasure back in Stillwater, it seemed like every time she had to read, there'd be a page. And she said, I think you just pick them out for me. I'm beginning to think I must have, because I haven't had any long ones since I've been here. I know, it looks weird. I'm wearing a Grinch tied to church, but we'll get there. We'll talk about it. And if you're worried, if you come tonight, you'll see my nativity. Well, it has a nativity on a tie, so I've so named it the nativity. So I'll be wearing it tonight, so don't worry about it. It's okay. This morning, we're going to deal with the Grinch. Because no one in the modern world understands love better than the Grinch. And anyone who's seen that knows that. Luther called John 3:16 the heart of the Bible, the gospel in miniature. So simple, a child can understand it. Yet it condenses the deep and marvelous truths of redemption into a few words. The gospel in a nutshell. Another person put it this way. God, the greatest lover, so loved, the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave, the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity, just believe, in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. That's pretty cool, actually. Well, John didn't just write a gospel. He also wrote a number of epistles. Anybody know how many? There's 1 John, there's 2 John, and there's... So how many do you think he wrote? No food for you. Daughter said 5. All right. 1 John 4:8 through 10 tells us that God is love. God is love. Romans 5:8 tells us that God loved us while we were yet sinners. So God is love, and he loves us so much that even when we had it wrong, he still loved us. How much does he love us? I'm not going to read the scriptures for you. I'll give you the scriptures, and you can look them up later. Because my point is to give you enough of a taste this morning that at least you still say, I have enough left in me to come back tonight. So you're only getting a 1-hour sermon instead of a 2-hour sermon today. No, I'm just kidding. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 talks about God's love in that he elected us. Those of you that were here for our lessons on the Reformation, know we got in a good discussion about predestination and election. I have a friend, an acquaintance. Oh, a fellow pastor that I know. In Stillwater, he's a Methodist, you can't trust them. And every once in a while, he's a vegan Methodist, so you really can't trust anyone who won't eat him. Anyway, Todd put a thing in today, I don't know where he got it from, the Babylon Bee or something, but talking about St. Nicholas becoming reformed and taking a hold of the 5 principles of the tulip principles, and so therefore he's had to immediately, because that we're all rotten people, we're now on the naughty list. The Gelfs have been spending all week putting everybody on the naughty list, because now that he's reformed, he realizes that none of us is good, no, not one. The good news is at the end of the article it said that he also realized that by his grace he could overlook our issues and take care of it. Election. Love in that we are elected, even though we don't deserve to be elected. Not that much different than half the people in office, but that's a different story. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 talks about God loves us in that we receive his grace. Wow. We've talked about grace enough that I don't want to go into it a lot today, except to say this. It is amazing what God's grace can do for you and for me if we accept it. And by accept it, I've told you before, I used to understand it in my head, but until I got it in my heart, grace was really useless to me. Knowing it and feeling it are two different things. We need to really experience grace. Third thing it shows God loves us, 1 John, back in John again, 3, 1 and 2, that we are adopted as children. Now, there's an interesting thing about adoption in that time and age. You know, you adopt a kid today, it's not that big a deal. You're just a kid just like everyone else. Back in the day, it was a bigger deal. All right, let's just say I have two sons, because I do. Todd and Sean, and if I lived back there, I could disown them anytime I wanted to. There's times I'd like to do it today. But anyway, I could do it. Now let's just say, on the other hand though, I adopt Rachel. She's now my daughter too. Guess what? Adopted kids can't be disowned. Rachel's going, yes! That's what God's adoption's all about. Whereas if we were natural children, we could be disowned. We cannot. God has adopted us and we're His forever. Man, that's love. Because, you know, those of us who are parents, there's times, isn't there? Yeah, okay. Finally, in Jude 21, it says that God in His love gives us eternal life. He loves us so much, He wants to spend all the time forever and ever with us. Wow. You know, there's certain people you can spend 10 minutes with and you think you spent forever and ever with them. But God is not like that. God loves us and wants to be with us forever. And we get that opportunity because God loves us. There was a song, I don't know when it came out. I probably should have looked it up. Called Love Was When. Y'all remember that song? Man, y'all don't listen to gospel country Christian songs in the 80s, obviously. All right. Here's the words. Love was when God became a man, locked in time and space without rank or place. Love was God, born of Jewish kin, just a carpenter with some fishermen. Love was when Jesus walked in history. Lovingly, He brought a new life that's free. Love was God, nailed to bleed and die, to reach and to love one such as I. Love was when God became a man, down where I could see the love that reached to me. Love was God dying for my sins, and so trapped was I and my whole world caved in. Love was when Jesus met me. Now it's real. Lovingly He came and I can feel He's real. Love was God. Only He would try to reach and love one such as I. That's love. Love is the ultimate sacrificial gift. That we put our needs behind the needs of someone else. That we care about someone else more than we care about ourselves. It's one of the things that should be talked about in marriage counseling, and especially in pre-marriage counseling. When spouses or pre-spouses, is that what you are before you're married, a pre-spouse? I don't know. Engaged couples or pre-spouses, either way works. If they think that marriage is 50-50, it's going to be bad. Because when you're trying to measure, make sure you get your half, and you know I'm not giving you more than my half. It's going to cause problems. Marriage is 100% zero. When I give 100% to Amy and Amy gives 100% to me, then our marriage will work well. It's the same for everyone's marriage. If you're more worried about whether you're getting your fair share, you're cheating your marriage. Because you'll never be all that you can be. That's the type of sacrificial love that God had. Putting our needs ahead of His own. That's amazing. God made us, He bought us, and He still loves us when we fail Him. I think Now, no offense, and not to be a total jerk, guys, but I think sometimes moms understand better than dads. Because, like, sometimes the dads are the disciplinarians and moms are the ones who get to be there all the time. To not that they aren't disciplinarians, but they do it in a different way. But I think one of the best pictures of God is when he's there at Jerusalem. And he's looking down like a mother hen gathers the chicks up under the wings to nurture and to care. And God wants us to do that. Wants to do that for us. That's the love. Love was when God became a man for you, to die for you, to rise for you, to love you. You are that important. And see, really, that's what Advent love is all about. Each of us getting ourselves prepared, the time of preparation, to accept the love that God gives so freely. Sometimes it's hard to accept gifts because we don't feel that we deserve it. Guess what? We don't. But he gives it to us nonetheless. So, what are you going to do? My hope is that you take that love that God gives you and you spread it around to those who you come in contact with. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, whomever that may be. Or if you're one of those people that takes stuff back on the 26th, you know, be nice to those people. I can promise I won't be doing that because I have a doctor's appointment on the 26th, so I just have to be nice to the nurses that are there working the day after Christmas. Do you really get it? God loves you. Period. Exclamation point. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that all through this month of preparation, as we saw the hope, the peace, the joy, and today the love that comes because you love us and have always loved us. Help each of us to do our best to not just be a sponge with your love, but to let that love flow through us and into those that we have contact with today and every day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.